Hi, it's Dave Denton. This is a special edition of Turnbuckle Trash. It's WrestleMania weekend, and on Friday of WrestleMania weekend, I was asked to be involved with a talk show called For the People. Now, as you know, I do work in radio in Logan, Utah at Cool 103.9. Well, 610 KVNU is a news talk station. They have the show called For the People, and every Friday, a pop culture hour where they talk about, entertainment and more. So they invited me to talk professional wrestling and WrestleMania on For the People. You'll hear that conversation. Also, Ajay Salveson has a show that's called The Full Court Press that's on The Fan, which is a sports talk station in our conglomerate of radio stations. He also asked me to be a part of his show. Chris Evans and Zane Peterson join us as we talk about what we are looking forward to on WrestleMania weekend. It's a lot of fun, and you're going to enjoy this special edition, WrestleMania weekend. It's on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Welcome to KVNU's For the People. I'm Jason Williams. Putting away the politics for the week. Kicking off the show today with our pop culture hour. Andy Morgan of AndyAtTheMovies.com joining us now or two for the For the People movie show. Right now, though, I'm so excited about this. This has been months in the planning, and the timing is just perfect with WrestleMania 35 just around the corner, days away. We have in studio with us, joining both Jessica Dunyon, our pop culture expert here every Friday at 4.
Expert, indeed.
Expert, indeed.
Not on today's topic.
We have the guy here in the studio with us, Dave Denton of Cool 103.9 joining us right now. And, Dave, I'm excited about this, WrestleMania 35. We've been talking before the show about the history of this. Jess, you said yourself, even if someone isn't a fan, they know it. They've heard of it.
It's the definition of pop culture.
It is. It goes back a generation, at least, in our entertainment and pop culture.
I can't believe it's 35 years, WrestleMania. I've been a wrestling fan since I was just knee-high to a grasshopper in Memphis, Tennessee. And by the way, I am too hot to handle, too cold to hold. I am too fat to be where it's at. I might not be able to float like a butterfly. I might not be able to sting like a bee. But I can hit you like Muhammad Ali.
That is good.
How can I follow
impressed.
That? You're going to have to get a new co-host. Yeah. It's going to be Dave. Because I can't follow that. I can't even match
Are
that.
You his long-lost brother, Dave Ali?
I'm Dave Ali, man.
Dave is, so just a little background about Dave. Dave is, the way he put it earlier is that he's a walking encyclopedia of, what did you say, Dave?
Useless knowledge.
Useless knowledge.
Yes, useless knowledge.
I don't agree with the useless part. Dave is the guy that, if we're talking on the show about music and we talk about a certain band, Dave is always the guy that can call and say, here's the part you're missing. Here's the part you got wrong.
I like it.
He can talk about comic books. He can talk everything from Star Wars to Batman Detective.
He knows the cool side of pop culture. Yeah. I know the celebrity, star trashy. He knows the nerdy side of it.
Those two mesh a bit with wrestling, though, right?
Yeah, because I call my podcast Turnbuckle Trash.
I love it.
Yeah.
Turnbuckle Trash.
Yeah, trash talk, and
love
we're talking
it.
About the turnbuckles. Professional wrestling, and I think I talked to you guys about this last year when I was on here. Professional wrestling has this stranglehold on pop culture. If you think back to the late 50s when professional wrestling was really popular on TV, there was a man named Gorgeous George Jr. And Gorgeous George was very flamboyant. He'd come out and he'd have our Fabulous Moolah, I think was his valet, spraying perfume in the air because he didn't want to smell the masses. And one of the people he influenced was none other than Muhammad Ali. That's where that trash talking cool. and professional boxing really got popular. And, of course, now in MMA, they still do the trash talking, but they don't do it as well. I mean, to be honest with you, when you talk trash talk, you're talking professional wrestling. They know what they're doing.
And this was part of the competition, in a way, right?
Yeah.
This was not just something they did to... I mean, it got fans on their feet in the arenas where they would, when they would perform live, things like that. But this was actually part of how they competed with each other.
Yeah, and then you're talking when professional wrestling, you're talking storytelling. It's like low-end theater.
Beef, right? Yeah. There's a beef that goes on for years. There's a plot behind
there's
the fight.
There's a plot. To make it really work, you have the heel and you have the face, the good guy versus the bad guy. And to make a really good wrestling match, you have to have both.
So who's in charge of the casting? Is that Vince McMahon?
He has so much to do with that. I mean, he helps with the writing. But usually it's somebody called a booker. They actually have writers that write up scripts for the wrestlers and then they say, here's what I want you to do in the match.
So that brings me to another question that I think is really important, and something that I think you could probably educate me on, is a lot of people don't think that these wrestlers are really athletes.
Oh.
So it's scripted, but they're athletes.
Oh, they will absolutely. This is the truth here. They have to practice sometimes for up a year before they ever get into a wrestling ring.
Are they working with a choreographer?
They work on how to do moves.
Is that the right word?
Yeah. They work with trying not to hurt themselves.
Right, or the other person.
And that's important, too, because you know now in professional wrestling, it's very high-flying. People jumping over the ropes, jumping off the top rope, jumping off cages like three stories in the air, landing on tables. They have to learn how to do that without hurting themselves or hurting somebody else. And they do get injured. Last year in Australia, Triple H, who's going to perform this weekend at the WrestleMania, he was in a match and tore his pectoral muscle, and he competed for another 30 minutes not being able to lift his arm. The next day, the entire side of his body was one giant bruise.
So I can't even imagine. That's an intense injury.
They do get injured. I've watched a guy in a match on WCW Live on TV break his neck.
We talked about Andy Kaufman when he was doing his, what for most of the nation as they watched that play out, was just a big joke, a lark. Yeah. He got hurt.
He got hurt.
It was a very physical thing. And
yeah, Jerry Lawler did a little move on him, took him backwards, and he didn't land quite right. Now, he didn't break his neck like a lot of people said or injure his neck. But my sister was working at the hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, in the emergency room when they brought him in because he had to stay overnight for observation because they were surprised that he didn't break his neck because of that move. So
wow.
These guys are athletes. Most of them have played college football or high school football or wrestled in high school and college. They've done something athletic. If you on the women's side, Kathy, she was on American Ninja Warrior. Kathy, I can't remember her name.
I don't know either.
Yeah, the first woman who climbed the wall in American Ninja Warrior is now a professional wrestler. She's only like 5 foot tall, but she's very athletic.
Is that how she got into it? So how do women, or men for that matter, how do they get into this sport? Like, how do they decide, all right, this is the sport I'm going
to
do?
Well, in Utah, it's getting better to be able to do that. Most of them have an interest in professional wrestling. I have a friend named the MK Bandit. Who is a wrestling manager who works at a
is that their real name? The MK?
No, his name is Matthew Robles, but the MK Bandit. He's a wrestling manager. And then Marty the Moth Martinez, who lives in Eagle Mountain, was on WWE Tough Enough, but he had been training at a wrestling school in Salt Lake City. And Marty the Moth is actually one of the biggest performers on the independent circuit right now. And he started right here in Salt Lake City. He's been on Lucha Underground. He was actually on Impact Wrestling last night, which is on Twitch TV and a couple other TV stations in New York City. So you have to get that knowledge. You have to go to a wrestling school like UCW Zero in Salt Lake City. There's also a new one called Devotion Championship Wrestling out of Salt Lake City. That one's ran by Manny Lemons, great guy. They've only like their fifth show is coming up this weekend, sixth show May the 4th. I'm going to go down to see that one myself because I've never been one of their shows. But UCW Zero, Devotion, they put on great shows. And guys,
I didn't even know this was available.
Yeah, and we're not talking $15 to get in for a whole night of entertainment. And then on May the 4th, Devotion, Cheeseburger will be there.
Tell me about Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger is a star of Ring of Honor Wrestling, which is on Sinclair Broadcasting. And he's about...
So this is a local wrestler?
No, it's a nationwide wrestler.
Okay.
He wrestles in Japan. He wrestles in New York City. He's about 6 foot tall. And let me tell you, my thigh weighs more than he does. I bet he don't weigh 125 pounds.
And that's why his name's Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. That man is skinny. And I mean, say, chew on a couple of cheeseburgers. Put some meat on your bones, man.
Jason, what would your wrestling nickname be?
I was just thinking of that. Like, what would I be if I was... After, you know, I
Jason the Mutt.
The Mutt would work.
I've just pulled that out.
I'm extracting myself from consideration though, because I just as we were talking here, I did a quick Google search for wrestling injuries over the years, and what I found instead was, well, I mean, this is so a list of to show how physical this is and why training is necessary. Just jumping around through a list of quite a few here. Owen Hart.
He died.
He fell 70 feet onto a concrete floor.
That wasn't during a match.
One of the most recent, right? And
yeah,
during a rehearsal?
Yeah, no, they were actually getting ready to do a pay-per-view.
And they were going to
lower him from the ceiling on a rappelling rope. And something, the rigging wasn't set up right, so he fell. And he actually died. But the show must go on.
So they kept going.
They kept going, and the wrestlers were really upset about it. And there's a lot of bad blood about that. His family will not let Owen be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, at least his wife.
Really?
At this
because
point.
Because of that?
Because of that, so.
Pero Aguayo Jr.
Uh-huh.
Fractured 3 vertebrae. During a routine move. I think it's pedal. I think that's how you
that was down in Mexico against with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, and it was a routine move, fractured 3 vertebrae, never regained consciousness.
Yeah.
Died?
Yeah, he died.
He died.
Very dangerous.
The list goes on here.
Yeah.
But.
The knee injuries, right and left, they'll break bones. Knees will go out, elbows go out, and I give these people credit. Most of them will go on if they can find any way. Stone Cold Steve Austin broke his neck. Owen Hart broke his neck. And he could just barely move. And he finished up the move to win the match. But that basically ends Stone Cold Steve Austin's career.
That is... so, again, like a good example of how physical this is, and these are athletes.
Yeah,
they do train.
Athletic.
So with
it's amazing stuff.
With the scripted element, how does that fit in when somebody gets injured? What does that do to a beef? What does that do to a plot line?
It can throw things off really bad sometimes. But if someone is injured in the ring, you will see there's certain moves that can go. If you ever watch and you see the referee, who has a bigger role than a lot of people really realize, if he puts up both hands in an X, that means it's serious.
Okay.
And that's calling for people to come in from the back. And you don't see that very often. But a referee or maybe an official or a wrestler will be injured and say maybe they tweak their elbow or maybe they do their knee. They will tell the other performer, and the other performer will converse with the wrestling official, and they'll either end the match right away with some sort of move. They have contingency plans. If it's a bad injury, it can put a stop to a storyline. And that's what we're talking. We're talking stories.
Yeah.
And they go over, it's episodic. I mean, Raw, Monday Night Raw, is the longest running episodic TV show in history. Longer than The Simpsons, by God.
Yeah, it was. And most people don't think of it that way, but this is a cool way to think about it. 753-5868, if you'd like to join us. Dave Denton, our guest here in studio with Jessica Dunyon, who is our pop culture expert. Dave bringing the wrestling pop culture to the show today. We'll be back with more and another special guest, Zane, who co-hosts
Zane, my man,
Turnbuckle Trash with Dave Denton of Cool 103.9 joining us. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Welcome back to KVNU's For the People. I'm Jason Williams, joined in studio by Dave Denton of Cool 103.9. He joins Jessica and I here on The Intersection, our Pop Culture Hour, every Friday at 4. This week, talking about WrestleMania 35, and we've got a little audio clip we'll get to here in a bit that Dave brought in with him, give you a good idea of a little window into this world. Joining us right now by phone as well, we have the co-host of Dave's podcast, Turnbuckle Trash, joining us. Zane, welcome.
Jason, what up, dog?
How you doing?
Jason, the mutt.
What up?
See, that would be my tagline, too.
The mutt.
The mutt. And then I would jump out into the ring.
We're talking pop culture, so is that still hip? You know, like you say,
what up, dog?
You say, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, I think you can still do. It's getting to be in that dad joke realm, though. It's that dated, but we still use it.
You still have Devon Dudley, one of the wrestlers, that he does his move from the top rope and goes, what's up? Hey, Zane, how you doing, my man?
Well, Dr. Dave, long time no here.
Yeah, just this about an hour ago. What's going on?
They still call you doctor?
On one of the stations I work on.
Do they?
I'm not a proctologist, I'll tell you that. I'm going to get in trouble, aren't I?
No, it's not. This is mild compared to what usually happens on this show on Friday.
Does WrestleMania move around? Does it have host cities? It's in New York this year, it looks like.
Zane, can you take that one?
New York this year, and it's going to be in Tampa, Florida next year. It's been...
how come you guys aren't there?
We're going for 35 years now.
Money. We ain't there because of money.
Turnbuckle Trash needs a sponsor. Now, gotta get Dave and Zane to the WrestleMania.
Oh, brother.
Let's start a Kickstarter.
We could get a sponsor for that, I think. Hey, somebody out there.
Zane, you and I were talking about on our podcast, there's the possibility of Las Vegas because of the new stadium being built for the opening.
Oh, yeah.
And Zane, you and I are going to be going if it's in Vegas, right?
That's affordable.
Absolutely.
That's a road trip.
How did you guys, Zane and Dave, how did you guys end up with this podcast? Where did this come from?
Zane?
Okay. Do you mind if I take this?
You take that one, my man.
Okay. So, we're about probably 8 years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, on one of the radio stations in Cache Valley, they were giving away tickets to a live WWE event, and I called in to KLZX and won the tickets. And Dave was there, and I had known Dave, just known who he was. One time I won something on the radio, and I came into the station to collect it, and Dave happened to be there, and he was able to give me my prize. So I just knew who he was. I didn't know him personally or anything, but Dave sat a couple seats down from me, and he was with another friend of his, and he told me, he says, hey, you gotta listen to our podcast. And so I tuned in, listened to a few episodes, and then probably 8 or 9 months later, I ran into Dave at a comic book shop in town.
Shockingly
and
enough,
I asked if he was still doing the podcast, and he said, yeah. He said, you should come on sometime. And I said, sure, just, you know, here's my contact information. Let me know. Well, I think it was WrestleMania 27 that Dave invited me to come on. It was when John Cena faced The Rock. And so Dave invited me to come on the show. And then he says, you did such a great job that we want you to become a co-host of the podcast. And I was like, okay, I don't know how to talk into a microphone.
Well, you talk on the phone pretty well, so it sounds to me like you can.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, you just sit down and start going.
The one thing, Zane, I'm going to give you a compliment here. He's as passionate about professional wrestling as I am. And Jason, I think one day you had talked to me about the podcast, and you could say that we have fun, we joke, we laugh, and we get passionate about something that we absolutely have enjoyed our entire lives. And which, I think that's why Zane does so well.
Which is the best thing ever. No matter the topic, if it's sports, politics, wrestling, it doesn't matter.
Passion.
If the hosts are passionate about it and they're enjoying themselves, it's a fun listen. And so Zane and Dave, Dave knows the story, but my first realization that the Turnbuckle Trash podcast had really arrived was Comic-Con, I think 2 years ago. I'm at Comic-Con. I'm talking with a couple of friends who also happen to work in broadcasting in the Salt Lake market, and they're talking about it. They're talking about this wrestling podcast that they just really enjoy, and one of them says, I don't care at all about wrestling, but I listen to this. It's fun, and it's really made me take an interest, and they're telling me, you should really listen to this, and I said, I know that guy.
Ah.
I see him about two or three times a week.
Yeah. Well, it's been just an absolute joy to do. And Ajay Salveson, who's on The Fan right now with his sports talk, he's been a co-host with us in the past. And we have Christopher Evans, who lives in North Carolina, that will be on with us. But Zane has that knowledge that I think he and I both just love the business, professional wrestling, but we understand what is going on. And I think that's one of the things that makes our podcast a little bit different. We understand, we can explain it, and we say from a fan's point of view. We're not experts as far as being in the ring, but Zane, you know what you like, and I know what I like, right?
Yeah, well, I love professional wrestling, and I'm a little bit of a different type of fan than Dave. You know, Dave goes way back to Memphis wrestling. I mean, back in, like, what would you say, Dave, like the 30s when they were in the fairgrounds?
Yeah, the
30s.
No,
I started around 1960, probably around 67 or 68.
I was like, 30s? Wow, burn.
Yeah. I might have gray hair, but...
Dave's holding up well for 120.
I took a real big interest in professional wrestling when it was the Attitude Era in the late 90s, early 2000s, during the Monday Night Wars. It was WCW versus the WWF at the time.
And that, if you don't know anything about the Monday Night Wars, there was on USA Network Monday Night Raw, and TNT and TNT had WCW. They fought for years for supremacy, and WCW won the ratings against WWE or F at the time for 83 consecutive weeks.
Oh, wow.
They won the ratings, but you have people like Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo who ruined WCW, and then WWE changed a little bit, became more adult, and they took over. That's where they took over professional wrestling.
Are there still two, what would you call them, sanctions, or is there just one sanctioned group now?
Oh, you have one main one. That is the WWE. That's the one that's owned by Vince McMahon. Titan Sports is what they use, I think. Then you have some smaller ones that they call basically independents. You have Impact Wrestling. That is probably the second largest. Then you have Ring of Honor, which is a smaller still. Then you have local independents all over the country. Like I said, in Salt Lake City, there's two independents. There's Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. There's Major League Wrestling. There's all kinds of smaller in Texas and Tennessee. There's Nevada has four or five. There's Championship Wrestling in Arizona, Texas. Every state has some sort of smaller professional wrestling. They're called the independents. That's where the stars of tomorrow come from.
And you guys have had them on the show, on the podcast often as guests, right, on Turnbuckle Trash. Utah, like up-and-coming Utah wrestlers, right?
We have had, which was your favorite, Zane? Was that MK Bandit?
You know, I want to shout out real quick to, there's a new promotion in Salt Lake called Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
And boy, they've got a lot of talent. And we've had one of my favorite performers out of Salt Lake is, his name is Manny Smith, but his ring name is Manny Lemon.
Yep, he's been on ROH and Impact too.
And then another friend of ours that's on the show who travels all around the independents, they call him the Paul Heyman of the independents. and his name is Matthew Robles. And that guy is great.
Yes, he is. He's the one I was telling you guys about. It's a manager. He's performed with something called House of Hardcore. That's one of the ones. And they're very edgy, but it's on Twitch TV. There's all kinds of different forms. And Zane and I were actually talking on our podcast. You'll hear this a little bit later on. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood has one that kids would absolutely adore. And you really like this guy, Gentleman Jervis, don't you? Tell us about Gentleman Jervis.
Okay, so Gentleman Jervis is a little bit different than, you know, your standard edgy guy that comes out to the ring. You know, everybody thinks professional wrestling. Professional wrestling, Dave, we've always talked about is storytelling, right?
Right.
So this guy, Gentleman Jervis, absolutely hilarious. He's a masked wrestler weighing in at 3,000 butterflies.
Yes, 3,000 butterflies.
Okay.
And what is his finishing move? How does he win his matches?
So Gentleman Jervis is a little different. You know, typically you see, you know, a choke slam, a power bomb, some high-flying, you know, some high-flying move or something like that. Well, Gentleman Jervis picks his opponents up and calls for the crowd to be quiet and then rocks his opponent to sleep.
That's hilarious.
It sounds like somebody
I'd
want to see.
Hilarious. Somebody out there listening right now wants to get out and see one of these play out live in person here in Utah. How can you do that?
There's an event. I think it's this weekend, isn't it? Payback at Devotion Championship Wrestling. And they wrestle at downtown, right across from the Vivint Smart Home at the Gateway. They have an event coming up this weekend, I think May the 4th also. And then you can also check out UCW Zero. They're on Orange Street, which is in West Valley City. It's just kind of off the beaten path. Both of them put on great shows. Very, very good. Let's tell the story of the Brothers Smith. The Brothers Smith, a tag team, and they come out in white shirts and little nameplates, and they get the crowd going to the bad guys going, shame, shame, shame. I think they broke up a couple of weeks ago, but for about a year, the Brothers Smith were really a great gimmick for Salt Lake City, and it was kind of a parody of the LDS missionaries. And I'm LDS. I thought it was hilarious. I loved it. So, yeah.
That is, back to the idea of storylines, is it hard for, you know, these independent novices or people that are up and coming to not repeat some of the, or to just copy some of the big storylines that are playing out in the WWE that people might see during WrestleMania this weekend? How do they come up with original storylines? Or do they?
There's so much that's been hashed and rehashed and hashed and rehashed. One of the big storylines is if you're watching on TV, you're watching the WWE, ROH, or one of the other ones, and you'll see the guys and they're doing their talk, their promos. They'll say, I love this guy. He's my brother. Well, you know they're going to break up within 6 months. They're going to turn on each other. This is my brother. They're done. That's
standard.
The shield. And right now they're doing that with the people called the New Day. You guys would love the New Day. They come out throwing pancakes to the crowd, and they had to do a little dance. And one of the New Day members is wrestling for the WWE Championship, a guy named Kofi Kingston, a phenomenal athlete. This guy is one of the best athletes I've ever seen in the ring. You talk about athletic performance. He's wrestling for the championship. But they've been doing this thing with the New Day. It's been a tag team for a few years now. And they're talking about a brotherhood. They're going to break up in 6 months. One of them will turn on the other one.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. And there's all kinds of different types of storylines. You'll have, they've had romance, they've had cheating in the past between a wrestler.
So
female
are these like couples?
Yeah.
Like men and women couples?
Men and women couples.
Okay.
And was it Lita and Edge? Was that the one, Zane?
Yeah.
They were a real life couple.
There's,
yeah, who are some of the most,
Alice.
Say that again, I'm sorry, I was going to ask you, who are some of the most famous couples in WWE?
Maria Canales.
One of them. Maria Canales and Mike Canales are probably
Okay, I do know those names.
What about
one of the famous ones right now, Dave?
Yeah, and Jimmy and Jay Uso. Jimmy, I think it's Jay Uso, is married to a wrestler named Naomi. And then you have Daniel Bryan, who's married to one of the Bellas. Is it Brie Bella? And then there was a big romance going on between John Cena and the other Bella.
I forgot
twin.
John Cena was a wrestler.
Yeah.
That's what we should talk about that on the other side of the news, because the number of people that have come from wrestling into some of the most unexpected post-wrestling avenues of professional work. WrestleMania 35 happening this weekend. 35 years of professional wrestling. Whether you like it or not, it is a household name. Everyone knows at least one wrestler or one storyline. We're joined in studio here for our Pop Culture Hour, the intersection with Jessica Dunion, by Cool 103.9's Dave Denton and Zane, who co-hosts the Turnbuckle Trash podcast with Dave each week. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, I've shared a link to that on our Facebook page.
We'll be back with more on For the People with Jessica Dunion and Jason Larson. We'll do that after we talk a little bit to Chris. Chris on the Mat is next.
It's Chris on the Match. Match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris.
On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
A special pre-Mania edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Christopher Evans, WrestleMania weekend. Let's talk the big event. What matches, match or two or three matches, are you looking forward to the most on the WrestleMania on Sunday?
Well, the main one that I am looking forward to in this world is Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan. Things are going around that Vince is going to add somebody else to the match, or is Vince going to find a way to do the Montreal screw job again? That's the one match that I am really looking forward to seeing the outcome, because everybody is speculating and all the rumors. So this is my main one that I really want to see, that maybe we could have Kofi as the WWE World Champion.
I would be so happy with that. I mean, I have been a Kofi Kingston fan since he began. Even when he was doing that fake accent, I still like Kofi Kingston. So, I sure hope so. And by the way, you know, you had made fun of that new belt, the wooden and hemp belt that that Daniel Bryan brought out. They have sold out of that belt at All Access. People have been buying that up. Wow. The replica belts.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, these days people would buy. I mean, if you made it out of Legos, probably people would buy anything from the WWE. But I mean, Daniel has been pushing this vegan, save the world, Captain Planet, spit for so long, and it's finally grown on him. And I'm happy that he's getting the recognition that he deserves. But this heel turn is the best for him. I like him as a heel than I do the babyface.
It's a great character for him. I absolutely love it. And then having, was it Rowan with him? The big old guy? Eric Rowan?
Yeah, Eric Rowan, yeah.
You know what? But wouldn't surprise me if Luke Harper gets involved on Sunday.
Well, there was there's a Facebook page that I read that the three ways Vince could mess up Kofi Kingston, and the first one that came out was the Wyatt family, the reunite of the Wyatt family.
Could be.
And the last one is adding Kevin Owens to the match.
You know, KO doesn't have a role right now.
No, he doesn't have a role, but I mean, if that was to be, it'd be a three-way, and what better way than to do it? So we'll see. I mean, we don't know what's in Vince's magic hat yet. We don't even know what's in his brain, if there's anything.
Can I hope it's going to be the Wyatt family? Can I please?
I want to see Bray. I want to see if he's lost the weight that he says he has. And I can't wait to see that new
that new haircut. He looks like something off the Matrix.
I thought it looked good on him, man. I did. I saw that. So kind of a mohawk with all the braids and everything. So.
And he's trimmed down the beard. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to look good for him. I hope that he shows up. We will see at WrestleMania.
I would. And remember that Daniel Bryan was a member of the mm-hmm. Wyatt family for a very, very short time. And then yep. he turned on. I think that would be a great storyline. So
yes, it would be.
Any other matches that intrigue you at this time for WrestleMania?
Right now, it's going to have to be the women's title for the both SmackDown Raw versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair versus The Man. And both titles are on the line. The unification is going to happen. I'm still picking Ronda Rousey to win the whole thing. I really do. I think Ronda is going to win.
You know, we talk about creative. We give them heck on this podcast. We just really bury them sometimes. But that segment on Monday Night Raw with them backstage and the police breaking into those cars, breaking out those cars, fighting backstage, even when they're handcuffed, those three women tore it up on Monday Night Raw. I loved it.
Well, Charlotte gave Ronda one heck of a knee to the face.
Didn't she, though? And then her head bounced off one of the brace bars on that window that had been broken out. You could see yes. her look on her face like, ow, that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, but the only thing I want to understand is how, and we all laughed about this, how did Ronda Rousey put that car in drive while her hands were cuffed behind her back? Explain that one to me, Mr. Magician.
Talented knees.
Very good. Very well. No, I'm not gonna know. No.
This is a family podcast. Please keep it PG, PG-13. Thank you very much.
Not a problem, sir. Not a problem. I've got my Wile E. Coyote signs in the back going, yikes. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing how they turn out that one for the women's title. I think that Ronda's going to win, but I'm looking for an interference. I'm looking for one person to interfere, and I know it's going to happen. Asuka will interfere.
You think so?
Because she got Charlotte took the belt. Asuka wants revenge.
Yeah.
What better way? But it's not going to be Flair. It's going to be – I'm going to pick Ronda to win the women's title and then lose it the next night on Raw.
Okay. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Which match are you not looking forward to or the one you think is going to really disappoint?
Can I have two of them?
Sure, you can have two because that's what we do.
Okay, fine. The most pointless match of all of WrestleMania – the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Especially yes. the way they're setting it up.
I don't like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. It's turned into a gimmick match now where everybody from CSI to Saturday Night Live to even Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood could probably go into the ring.
And I put on my sweater?
Yes, and then Big Bird will come out next with Snuffleupagus.
You know, I agree with you. Having those two goofs from Saturday Night Live come in there for Braun Strowman, and, you know, they're just trying to get the celebrities involved again. But, I mean, besides that little ugly trophy they had made, what do they get? They get nothing. They should make it, you know, hey, you get a title shot down the road, you know, something if you win.
Almost like a Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they could do something with it that more than what they're doing. I will agree. I am not looking forward to that match. I even saw that Mark Henry might be involved. You know, so and Mark's still in great shape, but here, you know, who cares? You know.
Well, I've also heard that Bobby Roode's going to be in it, but I've also understand that somebody else that used to be a tag team partner with Bobby Roode may show up at WrestleMania.
Please, is that beer money type stuff?
Uh-huh.
Oh, please have a reunion of Beer Money.
Yes.
Oh.
There is a rumor going around that on the internet, which you can believe everything on the internet.
Cowboy, James Storm, Beer Money together again. I would love it. It would be fun.
if Cowboy James Storm does get to WrestleMania, I would love to see him help Bobby Roode win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. We don't know. Maybe it's a surprise. I don't care to see the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I don't care for it.
Yeah.
It's nothing anymore. Yeah, it's garbage. It's garbage.
So you said you had two matches you weren't looking forward to. You thought would disappoint. Let's talk about number two, and I'm talking metaphorically too. This number two might be smelling like number two.
It's going to be Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar.
Man. Yep.
Yep, it's going to be Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. This is going to be the stinker of the year. This is not going to be the match of the year. It's not going to be a squash match. It is bad. Why are you doing this? And I say Brock keeps the title. Seth's not going to win. Brock keeps the title.
Oh.
It's just, yeah, Brock keeps the title.
You mean we'd have to go through more Brock Lesnar?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know if I'm looking forward to that one or if it's going to disappoint, but I just hope it's a good match. You know the one thing that really worries me about this WrestleMania?
What's
it's
that?
It's so flipping long. I mean, those people that are in the arena will be sitting in those seats 5-6 hours probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And when they get to the main event, which is the women's match, these guys are going to be exhausted. Are they going to have anything left to really get into this match? That really worries me.
No. The crowd is going to be pissed off. There's not going to be enough entertainment. They're going to have to do. That's why WrestleMania didn't have these many matches back in the 80s and 90s. They only had a couple. Now it's 15 matches. What are y'all thinking? By the time WrestleMania gets done, there'll be so many DUIs, it's going to be pathetic. Like my boss told me when he went to WrestleMania, by the third hour, everybody around him was hammered.
It doesn't surprise me, but WrestleMania coming up this weekend in New York City. And Chris, let's talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame here before I let you go.
Okay.
Yesterday it was announced the inductees from what they called the legacy wing of the Hall of Fame. These are the older competitors that a lot of people that are just into wrestling now probably wouldn't know, but I think it'd be well within what we know, and I'm a little bit older than you, well, twice as old as you are probably, but let's talk a little bit about the one that just made me so happy to see him getting some recognition. We've talked about him before on this podcast, the one, the only, the Wild Man, Bruiser Brody. What a performer.
Bruiser Brody was one of the top names in professional wrestling back in the day of WCCW, Old Japan, New Japan. He was a hardcore legend. The man never wrestled without him bleeding buckets. And for 50 points on this trivia question, who was his biggest rival?
Abdullah the Butcher?
Correct. You win a steak from Chris Steakhouse.
Yeah, you look at both of their foreheads. Man, they were gigging each other. I mean, they had so many scars on their foreheads. I didn't get to see Bruiser very often, but I did love watching his matches. And if you ever get a chance on YouTube, you want to see some hardcore, hard-hitting action, you look up Bruiser Brody. Well-deserving getting into the Legacy Wing. He was a great one.
Yes, and I believe in one of the podcasts, you told me that our uncle that was from St. Louis knew Bruiser from an organization he was with. I think it was
The
Odd Fellows. And I didn't even know that until you told me, and I looked it up, and it is correct. He was one, but his life was taken pretty short from...
Puerto Rico. Yeah,
it was in Puerto Rico.
He was actually murdered in the locker room.
Yes. Turnbuckle Trash Heads, if you want to hear all about that, look up Jim Cornette talking to about Bruiser Brody's death and everybody that was there. Go to Dutch Mantell. Try Dutch Mantell. He was there when it happened. But there's a lot of stories that went around.
Yeah.
They don't know what it was. Was it about money? Was it about a match? They don't know.
Yeah. But he was actually murdered in Puerto Rico. And the person
who,
from what I understand, the person who did the deed really did not get a punishment. So
no, he was he walked scot-free.
That's scot-free.
But I'm glad that Bruiser Brody is finally being put into the Hall of Fame. It's about time. He needs to be.
Yeah, he does. And then another one on the Legacy Wing is one of the female competitors, Luna Vachon from the famous Vachon Wrestling family. I actually have a Luna Vachon action figure that I purchased last year that's still on the card, and it's when she was having a little bit of a feud with Sable. She wrestled in WCW, World Wrestling Federation. She was an unusual character, to say the least. She was that voice of hers. It was always freaky.
Voice over that voice could have sounded like Ozzy Osbourne on steroids, but it was not too good. I mean, she went by a lot of names: Luna Vachon, Luna, Princess Luna, and Angel Baby. She was born in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, and she's on the other side of darkness, from what I'm. And she was trained by the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh yeah.
Well, that don't say much.
That doesn't say much.
That doesn't say much.
She was a great character, though. I mean, that was the precursor to a lot of the stranger women characters. You know, like Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is almost that way.
And I didn't know this. She was married to Gangrel.
I didn't know that either.
Well, slap me with a stake.
And Gangrel still performs, by the way. So,
yeah. So that's something I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, those two were made in heaven. They were both freaks. So they were both. I would have loved to see that wedding.
Ooh, yeah.
You may now spit on the bride. So she always had that makeup on the side of her face. It looked like she was about to pop a blood vessel.
Yeah.
So.
That might have been ink. That might have been tattoos.
Yeah, it was tattoos. I hope so, because if I woke up to something like that, I'd run.
Yeah.
Who's next?
No. Special Delivery Jones, SD Jones. A lot of people thought he was more of a jobber, but he actually was kind of the upper end of the jobbers. He did a lot of mid-card work. He did some tag teams in Dallas, and he won a lot of titles. SD Jones, a great performer. I loved watching that, especially when they call him, instead of SD, Special Delivery Jones. A lot of fun.
Yep. He debuted in 71, retired in 1991. This man's held a lot of championships back in his day. He was really good. I've never got to see him. I need to look him up on YouTube.
Then another performer that I'm surprised they haven't done this before, Chief Wahoo McDaniel. What a name that's not been put into the Legacy Wing of the WWE Hall of Fame. Wahoo McDaniel, a Native American performer. Let me tell you a little story about Wahoo that a lot of people have heard that is absolutely true. Wahoo McDaniel played in the original American Football League for the New York Jets. Now, they were always looking for a way to get the crowd involved. And Wahoo McDaniel wasn't a great player, but in one of the games, he was making a lot of tackles. He was involved in a lot of the plays. And the announcer would say, "You know who just made that play? Who made it?" And then the crowd would go, "Wahoo!" And that's where they came up with Wahoo McDaniel.
From what I understand, and from a lot of people I've read, I've listened to podcasts, there's a good side of Wahoo, and then there's the bad side. Everybody has one.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to Roddy Piper, you think he was think he was Hitler or something, because... Yeah. But Roddy has a very favorite story that when he was about to do a match with Wahoo McDaniel, he would go in the back, and Wahoo would take the spray paint spray paint can and spray paint his hair black, keep going. And every time Wahoo would sweat, Roddy said, I turned half black. he'd have all this stuff running over. I was like, what is this? But Wahoo, yeah, I remember Wahoo McDaniel. I mean, he wrestled a heck of a wrestler.
Yeah, he wrestled way into his 60s.
Yeah, he retired. He retired in 96. He was trained by Dory Funk. Yes, this man has so many. Good Lord, I can't even go over half the titles this man held.
So
yes, he is.
Let's move on to a three-time WWWF World Tag Team Champion, along with Mr. Fuji, Professor Tora Tanaka. Do you remember Professor Tora Tanaka?
I think it's before my time.
Yeah, he was, but you might remember him best. He had a good Hollywood career, too. He appeared in The Running Man, The Three Ninjas, Dark Man, and probably best known as Francis Butler in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Gotta love Pee-wee, yeah.
Okay.
He was an Oriental Professor Tora Tanaka, an Oriental performer with Mr. Fuji, and they actually won three WWWFs tag team champions. He was a very good performer. I didn't get to see him a lot, but I did see him every once in a while. So,
okay.
All right.
Great.
Yeah. And then we move on to an older performer. I don't recognize the name. They said he wrestled in the 40s. Primo Carnella, who was also a heavyweight boxing champion. He retired after accusations that he was fixing fights with the mob.
Never heard of him either.
Never heard of him either. And then the man who created the Madison Square Garden Network, which was one of the early cable networks that the WWF was on, Joseph Cohen is getting involved. And I think, you know, the precursor to USA, I think, was Madison Square Garden Network. So he's getting in. Former WWF president Hashina Shinema, who was the president before Jack Tunney. And then finally, a name that you and I will remember because we have similar body types, the Playboy, Buddy Rose. Remember Buddy Rose with that bleach blonde hair that was so stringy?
He was the obese version of Nature Boy Ric Flair. The obese version of Nature Boy that never hardly won a match. And when he did, it was a miracle.
He was rotund. Let's just say the man didn't miss too many meals. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, neither do I. You can call me anything, but just don't call me late for dinner.
But what a great character, man.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, for his size, he actually could move very well.
Yeah, he could. I remember Playboy Buddy Rose. Yeah. I bet you was from having too many Twinkies and steaks at the same time. But that's neither here nor there because we're all guilty of that. We've got to have bacon every now and then, too.
Every now and then? I thought I raised you better than that, young man.
So sorry. Okay. 24 hours.
Love me some bacon. So
there you go.
We are here. It's WrestleMania weekend. The day we are recording this is Friday. NXT TakeOver will be probably by the time this is up on... And it will probably be already over with. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for Johnny Gargano. And by the way, Tommaso Ciampa, once again, best wishes to you. I have been a fan of yours for years, and I was just heartbroken he wasn't going to be able to perform because of that injury to his neck. But WrestleMania weekend, final words from you, Chris?
Let's hope that WrestleMania is not going to be a stinker. The main event with the three ladies. Like I said, Ronda Rousey all the way. Kofi Kingston, I pray to the heavens above that he wins the title. But Brock Lesnar, he keeps his. And
I hope you're wrong.
I hope I am too.
Yeah.
I hope I am too.
Thank Chris. Have a great weekend.
All right, y'all have a good one. We'll talk to y'all later.
Coming up next on Turnbuckle Trash, more from For the People on 610 KVNU.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling? He was so good that he wore an outfit with the words fair play written across it. Like, I'm so good, I don't even need to cheat to beat you. It's kind of my idol.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
I sentenced them to deletion.
Depends over to diapers.
Delete.
Now remember, these
were all written by real kids here to do our first taunt. Give it up for Braun Strowman!
You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me? I'm going to kick your butt till you fall in the lake. And I'm not joking, because when I'm kidding, I say knock, knock.
Next up is the two-time WWE Tag Team Champion, Drew McIntyre.
I am going to shove my foot so far up your butt that you are going to be pooping toes for a week.
Next, give it up for Kofi Kingston.
Hey, check it out. You look like a potato and a chicken nugget had a baby. Oh, God!
And finally, we have a two-time WWE World Champion, Seth Rollins!
Don't make me bake a pie and put your face in it. Because your butt is your face. And your face is your butt.
That's my favorite one.
Some of the funnier... Now, Dave, you said those were written by children.
Kids, by children. Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show had him do it. And then he brought in, this Braun Strowman is like 6'9", got a beard that's huge, and he's a power lifter, and he's the one that had the big voice. And they were doing it like the kids, and it was absolutely hilarious.
Kids have some good burns.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, one wrestler that I do recognize is Ronda Rousey. I followed her from UFC. She's fighting this weekend, right?
Yeah.
So tell us about Ronda and women in wrestling. I'm really kind of curious about that.
The baddest woman on the planet is what she calls herself. When her MMA career kind of fizzled a little bit, she made an appearance at WrestleMania with The Rock. And it took him about 2 years to get all of those things worked out, but she started training. So last year at WrestleMania, she made her debut. And then within 3 months, she was the women's champion on Raw. She's now turned heel. She's a bad woman. You know, she cheats. But I'll tell you this about Ronda Rousey. She acted like a schoolgirl when they announced that Joan Jett, I Love Rock and Roll Joan Jett, was going to be live at WrestleMania this Sunday to play the entrance theme that Ronda uses, Bad Reputation by Joan Jett. And Joan Jett is going to be doing it live at WrestleMania. And Ronda Rousey, when she talked about it, she sounded like she was 10 years old and had just met somebody from New Kids on the Block. I mean, she was excited, and I thought that was really cool.
How many people can say their rock and roll idol played them in?
Oh.
As they, I mean, that never happens to me
and
here.
Rousey's
when I walk
got
in
a cool
studio.
Outfit. I like Ronda Rousey, so to see her in the ring like this, it might make me a WWE fan, Dave.
And what she does is she comes out and she has Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, yep.
And that's a salute to Roddy Piper, who was a big star years ago, and they were really good friends. She actually asked the family if she could do that for her wrestling.
And he died.
Yeah,
and
he
so
passed away.
She asked if that could be her name, right?
Right. Now, she's going to be fighting against the man, Becky Lynch. Now, Becky is, I think she's from Scotland.
That's her nickname, is
the
man.
They call her the man because, you know, she won all this stuff. She's the man. If you remember a few years ago talking pop culture, McDonald's ran some commercials with NBA players in the WNBA, and they had this this kid looking up at Lisa Leslie, I think it was, and said, "You the man, ma'am." I think that's where they got it from.
I remember that.
And then Charlotte Flair is also going to be part of it. She's the daughter of the legendary Ric Flair. Woo!
Now Ric Flair is a...
That's a name everybody knows.
Everybody knows
he just turned 70 years old. He's had a heart attack. He's had alcohol problems. But he's still out there. And that's one of the things that makes me mad when people like this idiot on HBO, John Oliver, start talking about all these wrestlers that die young. People die. People die in accidents. They die of illness. I wrote up a blog and put it on our Turnbuckle Trash page. And I said, you know, I'm 61 years old. I'm a cancer survivor. I'm overweight. And I'm enjoying my life.
Alive and kicking.
I'm alive and kicking, enjoying every minute of it. But I could die tomorrow, and I realize that. But when somebody dies in wrestling, man, wrestlers, that's terrible.
That's unsafe.
It's unsafe. You know, it just absolutely infuriates me.
I've always felt we can get to that when we're done talking about the concussions in the NFL.
Yeah, and it is a dangerous lifestyle. They do get hurt.
But that's something that they know about.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It's, you know, to Jason's point in the concussions in the NFL, I mean, they know.
Yeah.
They know about it. They've done a lot to move medicine forward with regards to concussions.
And they're doing
football.
The same thing with professional wrestling, because these guys do get concussions quite often.
Well, and if you think about what they do, and what, I mean, you people will be able to see this during WrestleMania this weekend, but anything that comes. I remember I've gone to one or two of the live shows when they would come to the Maverick Center.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was Raw that used to do that in the 90s. They, if you have ever seen that or paid attention during a televised match, injuries shouldn't surprise you.
No.
What should surprise you, I think, is the low number. That's how I've always looked at this.
And that's why you have to have training. That's why the guys do things to not hurt themselves, and then when they do all the high-flying moves, once again, they have to trust a guy outside of the ring to catch them. If they don't, that's when injuries occur. And you'll see these guys put somebody outside of the ring and somebody's going to do a flip off the ring. They will absolutely put their bodies on the line to keep that guy from killing himself. So it's an amazing thing. And going back to Ronda Rousey, I got off subject.
That's all right.
I wanted to say that professional wrestling has made just inroads with women's wrestling. A few years ago, if you watch wrestling, you watch the Divas. They had women that were doing bra and panty matches, and they were being objectified. It was,
were these like real matches, or were these like a halftime type of entertainment?
It was just pathetic.
Ridiculous.
I mean, and then if they did an actual wrestling match, it might last 2 to 3 minutes. And here we are just a couple of years later, because of the women's movement, let women perform, I think it was a hashtag, that the WWE started taking notice that the fans, like myself, knew that these women could perform. And here we are, WrestleMania 35, the main event, the one that they are pushing the most, Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and Ronda Rousey. And I am so happy for this industry, so happy for women in general, because our podcast was talking about it 3 to 4 years ago.